All right, good evening. We're so glad to have you this evening. I would ask you to take the hymn book in front of you and turn to 194. And would you stand with me in singing Joy to the World? We will sing the first and the last stanzas, 194. Joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is.
We're so glad to have you here tonight for our 2023 Christmas Cantata. Many of you have been before. Perhaps there's some of you visiting for the first time. We are thrilled to have you here tonight. We'll look forward perhaps to meeting with you after the service. And again, thank you for inviting folks. Just two or three reminders before we begin in prayer. Again, if you could silence all cell phones, you may have forgotten. I know that happens just so it won't go off during the service. There is a nursery. If you have a little one, maybe you haven't been here, and that's perfectly fine. You say, uh-oh, they're getting a little antsy. You got to take them out. We do have a nursery that's there for 3 years old and under. And again, if there's an emergency and you need to leave to use the restroom, we understand that. But if at all possible, we'd ask you to stay in here during the entire program. And then finally, if you're here tonight and you do have a little need of some hearing assistance, we do have some things there at the back. Several folks in our church use those. You'll feel free to slip out during the prayer and grab one of those. That'll help you hear a little bit better for the cantata tonight. So we're again thrilled to have you here. Then Jesus Came is the name of the cantata tonight, both in music and in what's called Reader's Theater. So let's begin in prayer. After that, you may have a seat, and we'll begin our cantata. Father, it's a joy to be here tonight, Lord, here at Independent Bible Church of Duryea. Lord, I thank you for each one that's come out tonight. Lord, I know there's quite a few probably watching from live stream, perhaps are out of town, just not able to come because of sickness or different things. And we're thankful we can offer that tonight. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity now to gather together, Lord, to be able to hear the Word of God given in music as well as in a Reader's Theater. Lord, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for Christmas. Lord, I pray we would not just be caught up in the Christmas season and all the traditions, but we'd understand, according to the Bible, the real purpose of Christmas, why Jesus Christ came and why he died for our sins on the cross. Lord, open our hearts and minds to the truth of the gospel. We ask your blessing. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat.
And our cantata this evening will begin with a Christmas medley done with the piano and the organ.
Thank you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God created man in his own image. But man utterly rejected God's authority and plunged the entire human race into the prison of sin and death. And death reigned upon the face of the earth. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Send us a Savior. Send us Emmanuel. In the beginning, God created me, and God breathed into my nostrils the breath of life, and I became a living soul. But I utterly rejected God's authority and plunged myself into the prison of sin and death to dwell in darkness forever.
My eyes beheld a ghostly scene as death came on the stage. He swaggered with a boastful step and flew into a rage.
His voice was filled with cruelty. His eyes were filled with hate.
He snarled, "You are my prisoner. Therefore death shall be your fate." And Jesus came and set my spirit free. Then Jesus came from heaven's throne to die on Calvary. My prison door flew open wide, and life has never been the same. All hope was gone, and Jesus came. Then Jesus came.
I heard the jailer say, "Forever dwell in darkness, I have thrown the key away, the key away." Then Jesus came and set my spirit.
Tilly? Hello, Tilly? It's Lizzie, it's Tilly. I got myself all messed up. Is you there, Lizzie?
You don't need to yell, Tilly, honey. I ain't deaf, you know. Leastwise, not since I got my new hearing aid. So how's tricks?
Lizzie, my joints is a-killing me, and it's November. I won't be able to move by the time Christmas gets here. My guess is that our little city of Forest Grove is headed for another record-breaking winter.
Could be, Tilly. Trees did turn mighty early this year. Reckon it'll be as bad as the winter of 82?
Land of Goshen? I hope not. That one was a doozy. Lizzie, tell me now, what do you think about this new parson we got?
If you ask me, Tilly, that wife of his is awful purty. Maybe a little too purty for a pastor's wife. But I guess he seems like a pleasant enough sort of feller. Maybe a mite young.
Young? Oh. Grandpa Billy says he's fresh out of Bible college, and you know what that means.
What?
He ain't got no experience. No experience at all. Why, he's practically a babe in arms, still wet behind the ears. And you know, you and me both know, they don't make young folks like they used to.
Well, I'll be. You're right, Tilly. And to think we're entrusting the keeping of our precious souls to that young whippersnapper. Why didn't we think of this before we voted him in?
Well, it takes time to think of some of these important matters through. Rome weren't built in a day, don't you know? But don't fret none. Grandpa Billy has run this town for 40 years. I bet he'll keep a tight leash on that kid, Pastor.
Winters in the small town of Forest Grove were bitterly cold, and so were the townspeople. Mountains of powdery snow piled up everywhere, and the cutting icy wind drove everyone into a kind of frustrated hibernation around their old potbelly stoves. Except for an occasional trip to Grandpa Billy's general store, most folks stayed inside and communicated by telephone. Temperatures often plunged below zero, but inside the one lone church in Forest Grove, it was below zero all year long. Pastor Jeff Thompson had just arrived in town with his wife Ellen and their six-year-old son Timmy. Pastor Thompson was earnestly seeking God's blessing on his first pastorate and was eager to get started on that first Sunday morning.
I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be your new pastor. I've looked forward to this day for a long, long time. I just can't believe it's finally here. And you have my word that I'll try my best to be a blessing and help you as we work together to bring more folks into the kingdom of God. Now, I've got a special announcement for all you kids. Now, most of you know my wife Ellen plays the piano. We are going to start a children's choir next Sunday evening.
George.
Yes, Grandpa Billy. And the name is Jeff.
Jeff. Oh, Jeff. Well, sorry, son.
Hey, that's all right, sir. Did you want to say something?
I was just a-thinking. We ain't never had a children's choir before. I don't know, we better be a-starting one right soon. Sounds like a pretty big undertaking to me.
Oh, don't you worry, Grandpa Billy. You won't have to do anything. My wife and I'll do all the work. She'll play the piano, and I'll teach the children the songs. It'll be wonderful for the kids. Why, they're going to get to do a special Christmas program and even sing
for... Now, you just better hold on your horses, sonny boy, and remember your place. I learned a long time ago, those things have a way of growing way out of hand in no time. Just give me some time. I'll get the deacons together, and we'll talk it through.
But... Grandpa Billy, what could possibly be wrong with teaching the children just a few Christmas carols?
Well, I ain't saying it's necessarily wrong. It's just, we ain't never done it that way before.
Sounds as sanctified.
All the children were disappointed that they couldn't begin the children's choir right away, and so were most of their parents. But no one had the courage to oppose Grandpa Billy. Besides, everyone was certain that the idea would be approved by the deacon board eventually. After all, what reasonable deacon would actually vote against having a children's choir?
Lizzie, did you hear that?
Hear what?
The deacons finally got together last night to vote on the children's choir.
Well, it's about time. Pastor Thompson wanted to start the Christmas program 5 weeks ago. Why should Grandpa Billy care about any old children's choir anyway? Soon as he sits down in the church house, he falls asleep. So what happened at the meeting?
Well, Grandpa Billy told him he didn't believe in the children's choir, and that was the end of it.
You mean they didn't even vote?
Now remember, Lizzie, dear, Grandpa Billy and his father built that church house of ours with their own hands, one board at a time. Grandpa ought to have a say in what goes on.
You're right, Tilly. If Grandpa Billy's agin it, then I'm agin it too.
Amen.
Pastor Thompson's troubles were just beginning. He tried to start a Wednesday night prayer meeting, but the deacons voted it down too. Mainly because Wednesday night was the same night Grandpa Billy and his cronies had played dominoes for 20 years. And as Grandpa Billy put it, playing dominoes is religion in action. Then Pastor Thompson asked if he could install lights in the church basement to provide much-needed Sunday school space, but Grandpa Billy opposed him again. Grandpa always said, "Can't be too careful with the Lord's money." Then everyone began to notice a strange phenomenon. Every Sunday, Grandpa Billy was beginning to stay awake for a little more of the church service, and it wasn't because he was enjoying what he heard.
In closing, we see that Nicodemus seemed to have everything going on in his favor. He was both a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin. I guess you could say the Sanhedrin was something like our deacon board today. Nicodemus was recognized as one of the great leaders of his day, spiritual leader. And yet Jesus told him that being a leader in the church was not enough. Nicodemus needed to be born again, born completely over by the Spirit of God.
Savior, through a narrow
the service came to a close, even the children were whispering about it. Grandpa Billy had actually stayed awake through the entire service. He hadn't dozed off one time. As soon as the final amen was pronounced, Grandpa Billy made a beeline for Pastor Jeff.
Well, hey, good to see you, Grandpa Billy.
Same to you, I'm sure, George. Let me give you a little advice.
I can always use some good advice.
Now, don't go trying to sweet-talk me, sonny. We ain't asleep out there in the pews, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to get you upset.
You just keep this evangelism stuff out of the morning service. You even tried to sneak it into Christmas. Now, it might be all right to use it on the children in Sunday school, but I don't want any of it in the pulpit. Your sermons are getting way too preachy.
What do you mean, sir?
Well, it's like this, sonny boy. I'm gonna level with you. Me and just about everybody else in this here church was baptized before you was even knee-high to a June bug.
I realize that, sir, and I certainly respect
Well, then why do you keep on a-ranting and raving about sin and salvation like we was a bunch of heathens or something? Now you need to quit it before you confuse some of these old-timers with all of this born-again stuff.
But Grandpa Billy, all I did was explain the story of Nicodemus from the Gospel of John.
Ain't you been a-listening to me, boy? That's exactly what I've been talking about. You best stay away from the Gospel of Nicodemus and all of them other wildfire books you've been getting these harebrained ideas from. We don't allow nothing in this church house but the Bible. The Bible, I say. It was good enough for my grandfather and it is good enough for you. Understand?
I believe so.
I hope so, for your sake.
Amen.
Lord, I confess that sometimes I wonder why you brought me and my family to Forest Grove. Seems like everything I do is wrong. Everyone's against us. Yet you said in your word, ask and it shall be given unto you. Lord, I'm going to fast. Pray for 3 days. Plead with you, Lord, to give me just one man who will love you with all his heart. Oh, Lord, please.
Given, see, and he shall find.
3 days later, Pastor Thompson was on his knees praying when he heard a muffled knock on the front door. "This is my answer," the young pastor thought, as he literally jumped to his feet and ran for the door. Only one obstacle stood between the racing reverend and the answer to his prayers. That obstacle was one of his son's stray roller skates, which was carelessly parked right in the middle of the hallway. As the pastor rounded the corner from his study to the hallway, without warning, his left foot flew east, his right foot flew west, and for one frantic moment, Pastor Thompson was completely airborne in angelic flight. However, it wasn't long before the laws of gravity regained control of the situation, and the pastor came in for a crash landing on the coffee table and the hardwood floor. Moments later, and only half conscious, Pastor Thompson dizzily surveyed what was left of his makeshift landing strip. The coffee table was broken in four pieces. There was a sharp, stabbing pain in his left shoulder, and his throbbing right leg was curled up under his body where he knew it shouldn't be. His wife was at the grocery store, and Timmy was at school. There was no use calling for help unless his answer to prayer was still waiting at the door. Pastor Thompson painfully tried to pull himself up on a nearby chair.
Come on in. If anybody's out there, come on in. The door's open.
Hey, Breeds.
Oh, phew.
Who are you expecting? Santa Claus or something?
Oh, it's not that I'm not glad to see you, Bobby. I was just expecting, well, someone else. Mm.
What's that blood on your face? I bet you bet in a fight, ain't you? Wow. Wait till I tell the guys about this. They'll never believe it.
No, Bobby, I haven't been in a fight. I stepped on one of Timmy's roller skates when I was running to answer the door. You think you could call Doc Forsythe for me? I think my leg is broken.
Bobby stood in a state of shock, jaw dropped, eyes bugged, and brain in neutral. Racing through his 14-year-old mind was the possibility of headlines the next day's newspaper: Bobby Simpson, modern-day superhero, saves pastor's life. Suddenly, something snapped in Bobby's brain. He bolted from his trance and raced for the phone as though mere seconds separated the pastor from eternity. Unfortunately, Bobby never saw the broken coffee table. After clumsily tripping and flying through the air, the full weight of Bobby's 120 pounds came crashing down on the suffering pastor's poor broken leg.
Oh, Bobby!
Oh, I'm sorry, preacher. I'm sorry. Why do these things always happen to me? Where's that phone? Operator, this is an emergency. Tell Doc Forsythe to get down over here to the pastor's house in a hurry. What? He's delivering the Thorndale baby. Well, tell that baby to get a move on. And hurry, or my grandpa's gonna hear about it.
Guess we're gonna have to wait for a while. Why don't you sit down, Bobby?
No thanks.
What brought you over here this afternoon?
Oh, nothing.
Come on, now you can tell me.
I guess I just wanted to talk.
Well, let's talk. I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, no, you don't feel like talking now.
It's all right, Bobby. Now, what's bothering you?
Oh, it's just that. Remember last Sunday you were talking about that Nick somebody?
Nicodemus?
Yeah, that's the guy. And you told how he came to Jesus one night, remember?
Yes.
And you said that Jesus told him he had to be born over again?
Yes, Bobby, I remember. Go on.
Well, you said that being born over was asking Jesus to come into your heart and to forgive your sin and everything.
That's right, son.
And then you said that Jesus wants to make us brand new people and live right inside of us. Ain't that what you said?
It's correct, Bobby. That's what I said. Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't, preacher. I'm a sinner. A bad sinner. Like the time I spread itching powder all over Mrs. Norton's fur coat.
That wasn't very kind, was it, Bobby?
And then there's the time I cooked the Barton's cat in Mom's microwave.
Bobby!
Then last week, I snitched all the cookies out of the boxes that you were getting ready to send to the poor folks for Christmas.
So you're the one?
Yes, preacher, I'm the one. I reckon I must be about the worst sinner that ever lived. What should I do, preacher? What should I do?
Oh, Bobby, those are the most beautiful words I've heard since I came to Forest Grove.
Preacher, I gotta get born over.
Why don't you ask Jesus to come into your heart right now?
You think he'd listen to me?
I know he would, Bobby.
Lord, you and me are the onlyest ones who know all the terrible things I've done. I'm awful sorry, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place. Now please, let me get born over and live my life for you from now on.
Oh, dear God, thank you. Your ways are so much higher than ours.
Bobby Simpson, the 14-year-old town pest, had been the terror of the whole community. Then Jesus came, and Bobby would never be the same again. When Bobby rose to his feet, he threw his arms around the pastor's neck and whispered, "He came in just like you said." As their tears flowed, the pastor kept remembering the scripture that he had been reading that morning. "Great and marvelous are thy works. Great and marvelous are thy works."
Marvelous, so great and marvelous.
Lizzie, when old Doc Forsythe arrived at Pastor Thompson's house, it looked like a tornado had struck. The pastor was half dead, and his leg was bursted into two places, and Grandpa Billy's grandson was down on his knees a-praying. What do you make of it?
I don't rightly know, Tilly. Do you suppose that pastor wrestled Bobby down and made him pray?
Could be, but if that's what happened, Pastor Thompson was lucky to come out of it with just a broken leg.
Maybe breaking his leg was part of some wild-eyed religious ritual that the pastor performed on Bobby.
Sounds awfully suspicious to me. I bet you 10-1 that they were practicing some kind of Bulgarian voodoo.
I don't know what they was doing, but I know one thing. Bobby ain't the same boy. His mother told me he's practically turned into an angel overnight at home. He obeys his folks most all the time and even tries to be kind to that bratty sister of his.
Well, my nephew told me that Bobby is even peddling his religion at school and trying to get all his friends saved, as he calls it. I don't like it.
I wonder if that preacher's wife has anything to do with all these strange goings on. I told you she was too purty for her own good. I do know one thing. Grandpa Billy ain't gonna sit idly by while some renegade preacher tears his town apart. He's got plans.
Have you been working on the switchboard again, Lizzie?
Yep. And yesterday afternoon, I overheard Grandpa Billy telling his domino partner that if this heretic preacher didn't settle down, he was going to boot him plumb out of the state.
Is that so?
Yep. And some of Grandpa Billy's words weren't all that religious, neither.
Oh, really? What were some of them?
Well, I wouldn't normally repeat such language.
Oh, don't worry, Lizzie. I won't tell a soul. I ain't never been one to gossip nohow.
Well, all right. You won't believe what he said. I even wrote it down so I wouldn't forget a word.
As Christmas approached, there was a strange sense of division taking place at the Forest Grove Church. Bobby had led several of his friends to Christ, and many of the other school kids were coming home asking their parents what it meant to be born over, as Bobby called it. Also, rumor had it that old Doc Forsythe had gotten saved at Pastor Thompson's house after church one Sunday night. Some of his patients said that Doc claimed to be working for a new boss, someone Doc called the great physician. The result was a new boldness in Pastor Thompson's preaching.
The Bible says that all of our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in God's sight. And because of our sin, we're not worthy to enter into God's presence. But there is one who is worthy. This is the heart of the Christmas story. God sent his little lamb to that manger in Bethlehem to shed his blood for all mankind. No, we're not worthy, but we can place our trust in the Lamb of God, because worthy is the Lamb.
I heard
Finally, on December 23rd, the inevitable happened. Pastor Thompson, as well as every other church member, received a letter from Grandpa Billy calling for a church business meeting at 12 noon on none other than Christmas Day. Pastor Thompson tried to get in touch with Grandpa Billy, but Grandpa refused to talk with him. In fact, Grandpa Billy had not shown his face in church since his grandson had met the Lord.
Lord, looks like it's about over for me here in Forest Grove. Please work in Grandpa Billy's heart. I love these folks here. I guess maybe I'm just not cut out to be a pastor after all. But Lord, you're still in control. If it can please you, I'll work a miracle in our little church. I need you. Oh Lord, I need you.
At 7 a.m. on Christmas morning, Pastor Thompson plugged in the lights on their little tree, called Timmy and his wife Ellen around him, and read the Christmas story. It had been a long night. Pastor Thompson had prayed all night that God would work a miracle in the lives of his small flock. As noon approached, people poured into the Forest Grove Church. It had never been so packed. little children were being shoved into the nursery, dragging their new toys behind them. People were being seated on either side of the aisle, depending on whether they were for or against Pastor Thompson. Lots of extra chairs had to be set up on the negative side. As the organ played softly, an eerie sort of feeling began to settle on everyone. It was almost as though they were gathering for a funeral, Pastor Thompson's funeral. At 11:59, the pastor and his wife slipped in the side door and took their seats. It was obvious that they had been crying. Then at 12 o'clock sharp, in walked Grandpa Billy, the man whose word had always been final in Forest Grove.
Friends, relatives, fellow members, I think you know why I called this meeting. These past few weeks, people have been making religion their whole life, claiming to have been born over. As my grandson calls it, claiming they weren't Christians, even though they've been baptized right here in this very church. And this preacher right here is the man responsible. In my hand, I have a letter of resignation for one Pastor Jeffrey E. Thompson, stating that effective tonight, December 25th, he hereby resigns as pastor of Forest Grove Church. It only lacks his signature, and I brought this paper for him to sign in our presence so all of us could be witness. But I haven't even a better idea. Bobby, you come up here and tell these folks my new plan.
Well, since me and Pastor Thompson are such good friends, Grandpa asked me to take this here letter of resignation and hold it up for y'all to see. Then Grandpa told me to take it and tear it up into itsy-bitsy pieces just like this. Because Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas, Pastor Thompson. Grandpa Billy got born over just like me. Born over on Christmas Day.
Grandpa Billy, did you really get saved?
Well, Pastor, it's like this. Last night, I just couldn't sleep. I kept wondering, what if what happened to my grandson is real? So I found my father's old Bible, and I began to read. I came across the story about Nicodemus. Didn't even know it was in the Bible. And I read it over and over again. I read some other parts, too. And pretty soon, I saw how wrong I've been. Then about 5 minutes this morning, the doorbell rang, and amazed, it was Bobby. He walked all the way over to my place through the snow just to tell me that he loved me and that he wanted me to get born over too. So we got down on our knees, and he showed me how to ask Jesus to come into my heart. I've been carrying a load of sin on these old shoulders for the last 75 years. Then Jesus came in and took my load of sin away, Pastor Thompson. I've been a cankerditis old fool. Can you find it in your heart to forgive me?
Oh, of course. Of course I forgive you, Grandpa Billy. I'm just so thankful you're saved. Praise the Lord, you've made this the happiest Christmas of my life.
What started out as a meeting to barbecue the preacher, God transformed into a glorious revival service that lasted for over 3 hours. No one who was there will ever forget it. Nearly half the congregation came forward and said they wanted to get born over, just like Bobby and Grandpa Billy. And you know what? Pastor Thompson is still the pastor. He loves his people, and my, how they love him. What happened? Well, it was kind of like a repeat of what took place almost 2,000 years ago in another small town thousands of miles away. The world was lost in sin, and the situation looked hopeless. Then Jesus came.
Thank
So much. Choir did a tremendous job. Pianists, all those involved, our children, those in the Reader's Theater. We'll say a little bit about that right toward the end, but appreciate so much the message of that cantata, both in music and in the Reader's Theater, and I hope that is something you won't soon forget. Well, I'm just going to give you a short challenge from the Word of God, and then we'll dismiss. And again, thank you so much for being here. Let me get one thing out of the way. You might hear a drama like that and think, uh-oh, Pastor Boyer picked that one there. He's having a little problem with his deacons around here. I want to get a point across. I want to get a point across. Got a couple of them back here and over here. So just so everybody knows, I did not pick that, all right? So Shane picked that as the music man like 6 months ago. He brought it in, and he even said, I don't even know. We just hadn't done it in a long time. We're just going to use it. I don't think you've done it since you've been here. So he had been looking through the catalog and picked it, and then we started looking at the message of it. So no purpose for that other than just that's the one the Lord had this year. And the music is tremendous, and I appreciate, again, all those that are involved. Then Jesus came. It's Christmas time, 2 weeks away. Most everybody probably has some decorations up, even if you're not a Christmas person. Some of you have had them up a long time. And, you know, there's little things to go to, and you're probably looking for a little bit of snow, and there's some gifts, and you're thinking of all the things you've got to do between now and then, and all the traditions that go with Christmas, and everybody has them. It is a wonderful time of year, and for many people, if not most, it's one of the most favorite times of the years. But yet, the message of the Bible, the message of the cantata tonight, is why Christ came. Why the baby in the manger? Why we sing the songs that we sing? Silent night, O little town of Bethlehem, away in a manger, O come all ye faithful, and on that many people have just grown up with, and you know the songs and the tune, and yet many don't pay attention to the very words, as it all points to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and why He came. You know, in the book of Matthew, it gives us two names that are tied in with Jesus, and that's what I'm going to look at here for just a few moments. One is the name Jesus, but you would be surprised by how many don't know what that name means. And the second is the name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And I want to read what the Bible says about those two names. Matthew 1, verses 20 through 23, the Bible says, while Joseph thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared on him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He had found out that she was pregnant. He was devastated, and they would be almost today like engaged, and he didn't know what to do. And the Lord appeared to him and said, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior. That very name Jesus means Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Two names that we often only hear sometimes around Christmas. Jesus, the baby in the manger. Jesus, born in Bethlehem. Jesus, Savior, and then Emmanuel, maybe not quite as well known, Emmanuel, God with us.
God with us. I want to share a story. Just about 2 weeks ago, our family, we were down in North Carolina. My wife, a North Carolina girl, our daughters were all born in North Carolina. We served in ministry 23 years in North Carolina. So we were down after Thanksgiving, visiting my wife's parents and doing some ministry. On the way back home, I was driving. My wife and I think my daughter were sort of sleeping on that early part of the trip, and happened to be listening to a Christian radio station, BBN, a Bible Broadcasting Network that's down in the South. And a gentleman was on there telling a story, and it really struck my attention. I want to share it with you tonight. Story goes that there was a gentleman married with some children, and it was Christmas Eve. His wife and girls wanted to go to the Christmas Eve service at the church. Now, the dad was not really a church person or religious. He went on occasion. Really wasn't his cup of tea. He was fine if his wife and kids went at Christmas. And they said, "Daddy, Daddy, please go. It's Christmas Eve." And he said, no, I'm just not going. And he was honest with me. He said, I just, the whole story is just too unbelievable. He was an intellectual man, hardworking man. He said, the whole thing, Jesus came to be a man. I just can't fathom that. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Hey, if you want to go, that's fine. You guys go. I'm going to stay home, have a fire and read, and then tonight when you come home, fine. And so they did. They left and they went to the service. And he started a fire. He pulled out a book and he began to read. Well, lo and behold, a pretty good snowstorm came up pretty quick, and a doozy, not just a flurries. It came up pretty heavy and pretty hard, and he was amazed by it, wondering if he'd have to go pick up his wife and children a little bit later on due to the severity of the snowstorm. And it wasn't much longer. He began to hear some noises, some just little thumps, and he wondered, what in the world is that noise? He listened. He kept hearing a few more, and he thought, it's probably some neighborhood kids throwing snowballs. Throw them against my window. I'll open that door out there and give them a little bit of you-know-what. And he went out there and he opened the door and there's the snow and he looked in, but he didn't see anybody. He didn't see any children. He didn't see anybody out there. It was just coming down and you could barely see. And he said, what in the world was that? And then he looked to his right. They had a large picture window there in the front of their home, and there were all kind of little birds. Little birds that had gotten caught in a snow squall and flying for their life, saw the big picture window, as some of you know what that's like, and they just thought that was safety, and they went right into it, and boom, 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 and they were laying there. Most of them were sort of just dazed there on the ground, and the man's heart went out for it. He just felt so awful for those little birds. He thought, what can I do? What can I do? I feel so awful, and what if more do that? And he didn't know exactly what to do, and he thought, well, I know what I'll do. Right there, there's the garage. He went right out there on the sidewalk, opened the garage door, turned on the light there, and thought, well, surely if there's more birds, they'll come and fly into the garage. Lo and behold, the birds did not. Several more went into the window, and he was getting a little desperate. He had a tender heart for animals. He said, well, what can I do to get their attention? I know. We have bird feed. I'll put it out right there. I'll maybe put some water. Maybe they'll see it, smell it. I don't know. Surely they'll come in. Yet the birds did not come in. A couple more even hit, and he just felt so burdened, and he kept thinking, he got frustrated. Well, what more can I do? What more can I do? I don't know what I can do. And a thought crossed his mind. He goes, how can I make these little birds understand? You know, it's almost like I'd have to become a bird myself. And as soon as he said that, the Holy Spirit of God convicted his heart. How in the world could God let us know how much he loved us unless he came and became a man, became one of us? And you know what the Bible says? That God himself, Emmanuel, came to earth in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, that beloved Son, born as a baby in a manger, to live and walk among us in the flesh like you and I, yet without sin. Why? So that God could show how much he loved us. How else could God communicate that with us? Almighty God, the creator of the universe, who lives in heaven, who's holy. How could he communicate with man that he had created, who had sinned, that he loved us, and that he could provide a way to escape? And yet he showed us he became a man. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Emmanuel, God with us. Perhaps you're out here today, and you're maybe one of those that just the gospel of the Bible seems a little bit far-fetched. You're a little too intellectual for that. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's just a story that people believe, and it's a nice tradition at Christmas, but you're not going to buy into that. And I tell you today, on the authority of the Word of God, the Bible declares that everyone here today, everyone that's ever lived, is a sinner in need of a Savior. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God commendeth or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he didn't just stay dead. He died and rose again the third day. He ascended to heaven. He lives forevermore. And with full authority and love, the Lord Jesus Christ says to everybody here today, those watching, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, comes to heaven, but by me, but through me. Why? Because he's God himself. He put on flesh. He walked among us yet without sin. He gave himself on the cross and died for us. He took our sins. He paid the price. He took God's wrath. He died and was buried and he rose again. And there's never been anybody else who has ever done that. That's why there's no salvation outside the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll finish in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, you didn't inherit salvation despite your mom and dad being saved perhaps, nor of the will of the flesh, just because you desire to go to heaven, that doesn't save you, nor of the will of man, no man can save you, no church, no religion, no tradition, no act of man can save you, the Bible says, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I finish with a final verse. As Christ was 30 years of age, beginning his public ministry of teaching, preaching, and revealing himself, he walked by John the Baptist, that great prophet, and John the Baptist looked at him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I'm here to tell you tonight, everybody in this room, at one point was lost in need of a Savior. Many of you have accepted and received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. I hope it's transformed your life. I hope you've never got over that. I hope you love to tell people about how the Lord Jesus Christ rescued you and how you love him. And worthy is the Lamb. If you were here tonight and you were saved, you probably got a little bit of chills as they were singing that song. Maybe even pictured the Lord Jesus Christ walking right down our aisle. And how we would fall down and worship him. Wow, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. There is one who is worthy. If you're here tonight, though, you might be very religious. You might have came and just enjoyed music. You might have came to respect someone who invited you. You may love things about Christmas and go to more things like this. But if you never personally received the free gift of salvation offered to you by God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never find heaven. You'll never find heaven. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, that religious man that was in the story, ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. How do we know God loves us? He sent himself, God with us. How else could God communicate with you and I that he loved us? How else could he tell us the way of salvation unless God himself became a man? And that's exactly what he did. I'm going to ask you to bow every head, close every eye. It's okay if you have some little ones that are making noise. That's not a problem. We'll be finished in just a minute or two, and then we'll dismiss. I appreciate your excellent attention, but I want to ask you a very, very important question. If you died tonight, if you died this week unexpectedly, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that your sins have been forgiven, you've received the gift of God, and that you would go directly to heaven? Is there any doubt in your mind? Are you unsure? What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in anything outside of Jesus Christ? If you're trusting in Jesus plus some tradition, that's not salvation. If you're trusting in Jesus plus the fact that you're a pretty good person and you've not done a lot of things that people have, that's not salvation. If you're trusting in Jesus plus another person or a set of rituals that you're doing, that is not salvation. There is no salvation outside the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins and rose again. And I want to tell you tonight that you can be born again tonight. Just like in the story, Grandpa Billy, a religious man who grew up in the church, a man who thought, I'm religious, he realized, I need to be born again. And he was transformed by the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, I'm going to let you know exactly how you can do that. Now, you can't be saved by making an emotional decision. You can't be saved just by saying a quick prayer and think that does it. You've got to be convinced from the Bible that you are a sinner and not worthy of any salvation. That you deserve everything that God's judgment would pass upon you. And that there is no hope of salvation outside of God's great love. And then you admit that to God. And you call upon Him tonight and you say quietly in your heart, oh dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Oh God, just like Grandpa Billy tonight, I'm confessing my sin. Oh, please forgive me, Lord, for trusting in anything outside of You. Forgive me if I've been trusting in good works or doing a series of things to get me to heaven. Oh, I know that's not how salvation works. Please forgive me of my sins. And I'm calling upon You, Lord, to save me tonight. Please save me. Please, I receive that free gift of salvation. Please come into my heart. Come into my life. Make me a brand new person. If you prayed that prayer in the silence of your heart and you meant that, and you did turn from your sins, and you saw that you're not worthy of salvation, but you believe that God does love you, and that He does know you, and that He sent His Son to communicate to you yourself personally, I love you. I love you. I sent my Son for you. Will you trust Him? Will you believe the Bible and receive the free gift of salvation? Oh, it's God's will that everybody in this room be saved. Everybody that's watching be saved. Everybody that's alive on planet Earth be saved. That is the will of God. If you're here tonight, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and maybe you say, Pastor Boyer, preacher, I want you to know I prayed that prayer. And I meant it with all my heart. Could you just slip up your hand and hold it so I can see it? Preacher, I prayed that prayer tonight, and I'm not ashamed. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. You can slip it right back down. I'm not here to impress anybody. I prayed that prayer to God, and I meant that. I meant that. I called out to God to save me. I know I'm in need of salvation. Is there anyone else like that at all that would say that? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed between you and the Lord. If you're here tonight, maybe you say, boy, I don't want to raise my hand. I know people are looking. That's perfectly fine. We have a little booklet out the back when you leave. It's called Done. It's a free gift for anybody in the room as you leave. If you'd like to grab that little booklet, it'll tell you more about how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you did pray that prayer, or you'd like to get some more information about heaven and salvation, I hope you'll see me after the service. I'll be glad to give you my number. You can email me, you can call me, you can come by the church. I'd be glad to go out for breakfast or lunch with you, my wife and I. Be glad to answer any questions you might have. I'm so glad that God loved us and sent His Son. If you're here tonight and you're saved, I hope that you're not ashamed of what God did. I hope you'll let everyone know at this Christmas season, the greatest thing that ever happened, the Lord Jesus Christ saved you from your sins, made you a brand new person. And I hope that everyone around you, your neighbors, your family, your co-workers know it. They know there's something different. It's not just because you go to church. It's because God transformed your life. You became a brand new person, and it's evident that you're a child of God. Father, I thank You tonight for the message of the cantata. I thank You, oh Lord, if folks knew how many hours and hours and hours of practice went in. Lord, months and months and months of practice, both here at church and on their own. Lord, whether playing the piano, getting ready for everything, those working on the script, those behind the scenes, Lord, doing the bulletin and getting everything right tonight. Lord, there's been many people who've had a part in the service tonight, and I thank You for it. Lord, I pray everything was done for Your honor and glory. Lord, that You would receive the glory and the attention, none of us, Lord. We're thankful that we had a small part in tonight's cantata. Lord, we know the greatest need of all mankind is not more gifts, not more money, not better health, not many more years, but Lord, the greatest need is that every person has a personal relationship with You through Jesus Christ and Calvary. Lord, if there's anybody here tonight that has never trusted Christ as Savior, oh God, I pray before they pillow their head to bed at night, before they close their eyes, I pray they'd call out to You for salvation and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth as God in the flesh so that we would know how much You love us. Thank You for the Bible that You gave us that every page says how much You love us. Thank You for providing a way to escape the devil's hell. And thank You for the gift of eternal life. Lord, we love You. You are worthy. Great and marvelous is Thy name and Thy mighty works. I pray, Lord, we be faithful until You call us home to heaven. We'll thank You and we'll praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.